Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight, isn't it? I wasn't sure if I was going to stand up or not because, Brother Dale, you stole my message. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I got Psalms 95 all in the lesson tonight. We were kind of there last week and all up in it and in that chapter last week. And Brandy, I didn't ask Brother Nathan to sing that song. Tonight's title of the lesson is Rest. And I was going to ask you, that's one of my favorite songs. I think it's kind of neat, it's different, and I was going to ask him, and I thought Brandy thought, yeah, he's asking me. I didn't ask him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was, I like a good introduction, and I was thinking about how to start and what to say because it sets the tone for the service, any service, the singing, what's said, and Brother Dale, what you said couldn't be any better. That's what it's all about. I mean, that's what this is all about. You know, you think about rest. Let's be turning to Hebrews chapter number 4, by the way, while I get started, and the Lord's already moving. I feel Him in my heart. I can't thank Him enough for that. I mean, I can't praise Him enough for what He's doing, what I feel in my heart, what I see He's doing in our church and our families. But I'm really thankful that God will give us rest on this side of eternity if we will take it. That is an option. Most of the time we run around busy with work or trying to keep up with things or what have you, just staying busy. And a lot of times you just say, I just want to rest. I just need time to rest. I just want a day off to rest or something like that. And we were talking about over New Year's when we went down to the beach. We had a good time. That's what we did. We didn't go there to run and see this and see that. We went there, and Brother Bill, a lot of the time we just stayed on that front porch that they had there. Now, we just rested, cat-napped. Thinking about what you were saying, Brother Dale, those times are important. We have to have those times of rest here, or we'll blow right past things. We'll get busy, and we'll look right past it, and it's a blessing that God will allow us to have a time of rest in this life. We'll see tonight that throughout all dispensations, God allowed a time of rest. Did you know that God Himself rested? I don't understand that. I mean, God, who is all powerful, He don't need to rest, but He even rested. I think He sees the importance of it, and by all means, if He sees the importance of it, then we should have the importance, see the importance of it also. But I'll read these first 10 verses, these 10 verses, and we'll get into it tonight. We'll be going between here, maybe in Matthew just a little bit, but absolutely Psalm 95, because there's a lot of parallels with what we're talking about here in from chapter number 3 and then into chapter number 4. They reference it a lot. Paul had referenced it a lot, talking about David. A psalm that he had written and talking about our Savior and how He created the earth and how He is worthy of our praise and how He will give us rest. But tonight it's very, very interesting is what will keep us from having rest. Everybody here has been given a measure of faith. Everybody. Every man, woman, and child has been given a measure of faith. So that tells me that everybody has an opportunity to take part in this. It's not excluding anybody. But I'm going to tell you tonight, it hinges on one thing, belief. Belief. You can hear, you can go to church every Sunday. You can think you're getting credit for being present. You can go every Wednesday night, however many times the church doors are open. But if you're not carrying out what you hear in faith, you're missing the whole thing. You're missing the whole thing. I don't know, maybe you're carrying out thoughts and maybe our minds carry a whole lot of things, but it's what we carry in our hearts that matter. And that is through belief. We'll see that tonight. Verse number 1, Hebrews 4, it says, "Let us therefore fear." That's an interesting start to a chapter. How often does the Bible tell you to fear? Very rarely will you see that. I don't know if you're really going to see it in too many places. I know we're supposed to fear God. But it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest." Any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day, and on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now if we go back and we look at what's being said here in verse number 1, and we'll take time to pray after the service, but what he's saying here in verse number 1, he said, let us therefore fear. He's saying, let's slow down and have some fear. That's a painful emotion or a passion excited by the expectation of something evil to happen. He's saying, slow down and think about this. You think about life where you're at right now. He's saying, let's fear right now that we don't slow down and have the opportunity to enter into this rest. We'll worry ourselves to death over things. How many of you get anxious about things and have anxiety? I do. I get anxious about a lot of things and get my mind on things and worry about things I can't control, which that's pretty much everything. I think our attitude sometimes is the one thing that we're supposed to be able to take control over, but we do. We carry these things and we worry about them, but the Lord or Paul is saying here, he's saying, fear lest let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, that you'll miss his rest. Now, I'm not talking about just getting into heaven. That is a time to come. When we talk about the land of Canaan, there were giants there, there was battles there, there was things to face there. But there was still a time of rest. How often, and I ask myself today, how often do you truly feel rested? How often do you feel rested physically? Most of the time we get up in the morning, even if we go to bed early, we'll get up in the morning and very often we'll say, I don't feel rested. I don't feel like I slept good last night. We don't feel rested. And then you take that and how important it is physically, but how often do you feel spiritually rested? Like you're really resting in the Lord. We always have something to pray for, which is okay. There's a battle to face. There's things to face. There's things going on. But you know, besides all of that, Jesus is telling us to rest in Him. He never said that it wasn't going to be like that. He didn't say that we wouldn't face things or have troubles and trials. He's saying above those troubles and trials, fear that you miss it. Slow down and don't miss it. I think that's a very big point here because we get overwhelmed with life and we face these things and we go after it. Matthew 10:28 says, and fear not them which kill the body but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is also able to destroy both soul and the body in hell. He's talking about let's slow down and fear God and think about him. Let's think about the spiritual side of life. This thing about coming short, that means not following through. I've been guilty in my life of hearing a good sermon, a good lesson. The Lord give me exactly what I need to hear and turn around and walk away from it and not mingle it with faith. And then it falls flat on my side, not God's side. He gave it to me. He prepared it. He laid it out in front of me. He gave it to me. But he's saying here, be careful that you don't come short of adding your faith with what you hear. See, the very first opportunity you have as a person is to accept Christ. That's adding faith to what you hear to the gospel about how to be saved, about how to know and come to know the Lord in salvation. He gives us faith. You know, if you hear John 3:16 every day and you hear it, you memorize it and you know it in your mind and you don't know it in your heart, you're no better off. Not when salvation's concerned. You have to mingle that with faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You can hear that every day, but if you don't believe it, you don't have it. You say, preacher, I know it. I've heard it. But if you don't believe it, you don't have it. You have to accept that. You have to say, that is my hope. That's what I'm putting all of my hope in Jesus Christ, every bit of it. That's mingling faith. Faith is a hard thing to give. It's hard to give faith in something that you can't see. That's a hard thing. God is asking us to extend faith in him. You know, it's a special thing like tonight when the Lord comes by. And that sweet spirit comes by. Church, he's here. I don't want anybody to miss it. I don't know what your need is, but he's going to do something for you tonight if you'll let him. Not me, but he will. If you're here tonight and you're lost, he's here. I feel his spirit. I'm going to trust him with it. He doesn't want us to come short. He doesn't want us to come short of his rest. You can talk about the rest that we have, eternal rest and salvation, but I want to talk about the rest that we have today. You know there's rest today. We have rest today. We have rest today in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The problem is we fall flat of that is when we don't add our faith to it. It says here in verse number 2, it says, for unto us was the gospel preached. They heard the gospel. They heard the good news. The gospel of the kingdom. Remember, talking to the Hebrews, the Jewish people, the gospel was preached to them. The gospel of the kingdom is coming. They were ready for it. They thought the kingdom was going to come and they were worried about who was going to sit closest to Christ in the kingdom. They were thinking about things like that and they didn't understand and see the church age where we're at today. But you'll see there's still a rest in this church age today. For unto us was the gospel preached as well unto them. Us today, what you're seeing here, not only here but throughout the other ages. Talking about during the time of Moses. They heard it. The law was given. You know, we talked about that on Sunday. God is always given an opportunity, even though there are different dispensations. He's always had the door open for us, for all of mankind. He has it open for the Jewish people. He has it open for the Gentile as well unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know how sad that is? To have the cure for everything that ails you, have it laid out in front of you, and turn away and walk away from that. That's what happens when you walk away from the Word of God and you don't believe it. I mean, everything you need, Sister Holly, is laid out on the table. I mean, it's right there. God is saying, come and get it. It's here for you. It's right here. All you have to do is believe it and pick it up and take it with you. You don't have to spend any money. You don't have to do anything. You just got to believe that he'll do it. That's all you got to do. You just got to believe him. Has God ever given you a reason not to believe him? Well, say, preacher, I've prayed for this thing to happen. I've prayed for this to happen. There's something I want us to see tonight about trusting the Lord. It's not always about trusting that the Lord will give you what you want. I'd say very rarely is it about the Lord giving you, Brother Dale, what you want. It's trusting the Lord will give you what you need. And we don't know that. You can't let a child tell you what they need and what they deserve and what they want. They'll lead themselves down a wrong path. Somebody has to be the adult and has to rear that child up and say, honey, you don't need that. You need this. When you get out of line, sometimes you need this. Sometimes you need medicine. You can't let a child tell you what they need. They don't know. We don't know what we need. God does. But we have to trust him. We have to take him at his word and say, Lord, I don't know what I need. I halfway know what I want sometimes. You know how our eyes are. But he's saying, hey, if you will just slow down and not miss this and trust me, I will give you what you need. Now, how real is that? How good is that? The table is laid out. Everything is laid out in front of us. It's right there. But so often we will hear it, Think maybe that was good, that sounds good, maybe it sounds too good, and then we'll walk away from it. And you will never have rest if you do that. Brother Dale gave the best definition of rest, by the way. It's a stop of motion. It's quiet. It's free from disturbance. It's a good time to have that. You see, the devil loves disturbance because you can't focus if you're disturbed. You can't. And you know, as we grow older maybe, and as we experience more things, maybe our threshold of disturbance gets a little bit better, but you see, you have to stay focused in Jesus or you're going to miss it. The devil's going to throw everything at you. He wants you to be worried, he wants you to be tore up, and he wants you to be unfocused. The rest that we have in this life comes through how much faith that we put in Jesus Christ. I think a lot of times our tiredness comes from our lack of faith, not because we're doing what's right. Not because we're working for Him, not because we're accomplishing things for Him or His kingdom, but we are overworking our minds and we're not putting our faith in Christ. If you put your faith in Him where it's supposed to be, you'll have rest. That's what this scripture will tell us. It is telling us, and you'll see it as we go on. But how sad it is that it didn't profit them. You imagine if the Bible did not profit you. The Bible is everything. It has everything that we need. But if we don't believe it, we turn away and we walk away from God's blessing. Have you ever done that? I've been guilty. I've read it. I've seen it. I've said, man, that is good. That is awesome. And turn away and not claim it. And it won't profit us if we don't claim it. If we see it, we read it, but we don't claim it, it's not profiting us. You see, in verse number 3, it says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." We which believed. As he said, "As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Again, you see in Psalms 95, I want us to see that. Psalms 95 and 11. Me and Brother Archie were talking about this on Sunday afternoon after the message on Sunday 11. It says, "Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." It was because of their unbelief. It was because the children of Israel were being disobedient. They didn't have rest. You know, you think about things, God has made it easy, but if we don't claim it, we don't have it. And what I mean by that, if you go back and you look at this time in the wilderness, just like we said last Wednesday night, how many people made it in? Two people. If it was that easy, then everybody would have it, right? Caleb and Joshua were the two that entered in because they had faith. They said, "I believe we can do it with the Lord's help." And God said, "Yes, you can." The rest said, "We can't do it. They're too big." Now you imagine tonight, and I was thinking about our church, you imagine tonight if only two of you are actually in rest tonight. Where's the rest of us? And now you're talking about a whole nation there. But you think about it. What if there's only two of us in here tonight that is actually in rest? And what are the rest of us doing? What do we carry? Where's our faith at? You see, Matthew chapter number 7. Verses 13 and 14. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be, which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." See, I think we think it's just this open gateway that people just magically, without trying, just go into. The Bible tells us it's a straight and narrow gate, and not a lot of people find it. You think about our spiritual life and where we're at, thinking about rest. Have you found that rest or not? The Bible says here, few find it. That's what it says. People are looking at the broad way, the easy way. Heard Brother Daniel preaching a message on this, and it was amazing because me and Brother Archie had talked about this, these verses last week, and I thought that is so true based on what we're studying tonight. But it is so true. People just have this surface idea of what Christianity is supposed to be. Do you know God? Yes. When in reality, they know or think there is a God. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? I think so. That's a trickier question for most people. I've heard of him. Does that mean I know him? Some people will think that because they've heard a name that they believe in him, and they don't. You've heard a lot of names, and you might not have confidence in that person or know who they are. You have to know him. You have to know who Jesus is. And a lot of people don't know him. See, there's a misconception. It's this mainstream idea that everybody just magically goes to heaven. I saw something today that is so true. How many times have you heard people say, we're all God's children? Man, I've heard that, Brother Terry, I don't know how many times. God created us all, but we're not all his children unless you've accepted it. There is a difference. There's going to be a day that people cry, Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. He says, depart from me. I know you not. Not everybody that professes actually knows who he is. There's a lot of this mainstream idea going on that people just magically think at the end everything just works out. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, you don't get into heaven. And tonight I want to tell you, if you're not putting your faith in him as a believer after salvation, you're not going to enter into his rest. And there's many of you facing battles. I'm not making it sound, trying to make it sound like it's easy. I think as it arises, as the problems arise, as the trials arise, what does it require more of? Faith. Belief. More. You know, when I accepted Christ in childlike faith, that's the only faith I had. Lord, save me. I know that I'm lost. I know I have to have you. And I know if I don't have you, I won't enter into heaven. And Jesus, you're my only way. I had enough faith to believe that. But you know, in the days and years and all the time past that, there's been things that's come in our lives, my life, my family's life. It took more faith than that. It took more. It did. I don't think about it that way, but it did. As these trials come in, you weigh out these things in your mind. You're saying, I just don't know if God can do this or not. Might not admit it, but in our minds, that's what's happening. Or you wouldn't be anxious. I wouldn't be anxious. We'd just say, God's got it. You'd walk away from it. Say, preacher, you're talking out of your head. I'm talking out of the book. I don't know everything, and I don't claim to know everything, but all I can tell you is what the Bible says, and it's up to you, and it's up to me if we believe that or not. That is where the power's at. So many times you'll see in God's word where it says the power's at. Many mighty things he didn't do because of their unbelief. There's things in our life, I believe, that we haven't been able to accomplish or to experience simply because we didn't have enough faith in God that he is going to do it. It's that simple. And that's an internal thing. That's a personal thing. I can't judge yours and you can't judge mine. That is strictly between you and God and me and God. He's the one that knows that meter. He knows. He knows how much faith. He knows what we're the trust that we're putting in him. He's the one that knows that. But he swore in his wrath that they would not enter into his rest, verse number 3, because of the works that they had. They're evil, and he knew that from the foundation of the world is what he's saying. But we see here in verse number 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from his works. I think that's a very interesting thing. I think there's a satisfaction after completion. When I think of God resting, that kind of blows my mind. I don't understand that, but I can only use it in my mind how I look at things. I do enjoy yard work. I enjoy mowing the yard and doing things like that because what I like to do after that is take it all in. I like trying to put stripes on the yard and make it look pretty and everything. And one of my favorite things is how the yard smells after I mow. I love that. That time of the year. Sometimes it's hot. Sometimes you're sweaty, you get out there, you work, and it's tiresome and what have you. Got a little hill in our yard and what have you. But you go and you do that, and I'll even vacuum it up with got the mulcher, and I'll dump that out. It takes longer, but it looks nicer. Smells good. You know, my favorite thing to do is not go back in the house after I mow, but it's to sit on the porch and just look at it. I did it. I want to see it. That's why it's for me. I mean, it's not necessarily for everybody else, but I want to see it. I want to enjoy it. I want to smell it. And you're sitting there sweaty, maybe drinking a water or tea, whatever, and just sitting there and just looking at it and taking it all in. And Brandy come out and say, "That looks nice." It does, don't it? I enjoy that. I like that. Enjoying what happened after completion. You think about it. I'll give you this. On Sunday, we went for a hike. We're trying to do a hike maybe once a month. And Brandy picked the easiest one she could find. No, she didn't. It's Lower Crab. It's the Crab Orchard, Crab Trail, Crab Falls Trail, or what have you. When I say it straight up, I'm not kidding. It's straight up. The good part about it's coming back down. But it's straight up on the way up. And Mom and Dad and every single one of us, we had to take a break on the way up. You'd get up and it's like, I don't know if this is worth it or not. Mom and Dad hadn't been there yet. They hadn't seen the falls. They said, it's worth it. And once you get up there and you get across the backside and you see the water, it's nice. It's worth it. Not too many people were on the trail, but it was worth it. But we walked up there, and me and Brandy, when we got back home, and even Mom, we were talking about it, she's like, you know, I was kind of sore and it's kind of hard, but I'm glad we did it. I feel like we accomplished something. It was worth it. You know, on the way up, it was hard. Mom and Dad didn't know what was at the end of it. They didn't know if it was worth it or not. But they're like, man, this is nice once you get there. See, there's some things in our life that you have to go through those hard times to get to that point to know. There's no other way. You see here in Genesis 2:2, what happened here, God rested. It was the satisfaction he had after completion. He created all this earth. He created everything, just like you said, Brother Dale. He just with his finger, just whoop, and put a drop of water in it, and there's the ocean. And he sat back and he looked at it. He was happy with what he had made. You see, he rested with the work after the work had been done. You know, when we extend a lot of faith, that's our work. That takes a lot of work. It's not faith and trying to keep a salvation. If you're saved, you've got that forever. But it's a belief in Him. It's a work in Him. And how joyful it is to work in the Lord and just sit back and rest Him. Say, Lord, I tried to do this exactly the way you told me to do it. Now I'm just going to rest and see what you do with it. You know, situations that we face in life, these uncertainties, working through hardships at work and family relations, in the community, my goodness, there's all kinds of trials and things to try to work through and do all that. But the Lord says, if you'll just do it my way and let me handle it, sit back and rest. That's the work. And the more faith we give Him, the more opportunity we give Him to work in our lives. That's what the Bible's telling us. That's what I'm seeing in this here tonight. But God rested. I think this is very interesting here. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. That goes all the way back to the beginning of creation. Remember the law of first mention? That's the first mention of rest. We see how God rested. He rested after completion of what He had done. And He saw the accomplishments He had made, the satisfaction after completion. So there was rest there at the very beginning. You know, if you go from the time of creation, you go into a different dispensation, the dispensation of the law, the wilderness, there's the land of Canaan. That represents a place of rest. Isn't that something? And in this place also, Paul was talking about here, he's saying, and in this place also, there's a place of rest where you're at today. Do you know there's a place of rest in the this age that we're in, the age of grace? The age of the cross, the age of Christ, we have a rest today in Him. And what it's saying here, it's talking about there's going to be a rest in the time of tribulation. The Jewish people that choose to believe in Him. And I was thinking about this place too. I thought it was too good to pass this up. Remember Sunday, the message was, there is a place, the rock. I told Brother James I didn't take it that far, but you know who the rock is? It's Jesus Christ. That's who our rest is in today. But you see here in verse number 6, again, remember who we're talking to and what time period we're talking to. You can see the stage being set for this right now. You think about how that one world system is being set up right now. You and I that believe in Christ, our hope is in Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Amen. Did you know there's multitudes and multitudes of people whose hope is in the government? It is. You think about this. Why are we sending millions, billions of dollars to another country when we haven't even got our debts paid off? I mean, why are we doing that? Why are we doing that? How in the world if our I'm not exactly sure how many trillion, I don't even know what that is. I can't even fathom that. But if we are trillions in debt and we've got billions, why are we not paying that debt off? Why are we giving it away to another country? We'll say that's just the nice thing to do. No, I'm being serious. Is that what you do at home? If you're in debt and you want to get out of debt, would you not start trying to pay that debt off? Get out of debt? But what if you were trying to crash the world economy? What if you were going to try to force something in? What if you were going to say, we're going to crash this thing to the point, Brother Norman, that you can't fix it? And then usher in a new world order. Usher in a new way, and then who are the people going to rely on then? What are the people going to rely on then? Where's their money going to come from? The dollar bill, throw it out the window. It's not worth anything. Inflation, it's not worth anything. Your dollar's not worth anything. What are you going to do then? How are we going to eat? How are we going to buy? How are we going to buy eggs if you don't have chickens? I mean, how are you going to do that? You get hungry. You get desperate. I'm going to have to do something. My children are hungry. I'm going to have to do something. But you think about this. The church is gone. There's no more church. The Holy Spirit gone, Brother Dale. It's gone. We can't fathom what that's like. Our lifetime, all we've ever seen and known is the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, how that feels on our life. See, in tribulation period, there will be none of that. There's going to be people, you think, well, how hard will it be to be saved in the tribulation period without the wooing of the Holy Spirit? It's going to be very hard because it's hard right now. And the Holy Spirit is wooing now. He's here tonight. But how hard is that? And you think about it, they're going to look at the government and say, I have to eat. I have to have this. Here, put this mark on your hand and you can eat. Well, I have to do it. That's all I know. How many people in this day and time do we know? That's all they know now. Welfare, the system. The government will take care of me. That's what they rely on. It's already in people's minds. And now with the money, no more capitalism. The money's gone. Socialism is rushed in. And the new world order is rushed in. That's going to be a helpless, hopeless time. People say, I got to eat. I'll take it. Well, you know what? The taking in this day and time, what we know in this day of grace, not accepting Christ as our Savior, in that day and time when somebody takes the mark of the beast, they're saying, I'm going to put my faith in the government and not my faith in Jesus Christ. And that seals their fate. This one world system, if you go through and you look all through the book of Revelation, it lays it out there. The mark of the beast comes through the false prophet. False prophet represents the church part, that papal church system. It'll be like, look what the church is giving you. You see, and people will be none the wiser if they're not listening to this, if they're not paying attention. You see what this says here in verse number 6. It says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein and some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. We see in verse number 6 talking about remaineth. That word remains, that means that which is left after a part is separated. What part is separated at the calling up, the rapture? The church. After the church is called out, there are those that remaineth. Who are we talking about tonight? We're talking about the Jewish people. I'm not saying that Gentiles cannot be saved. If you've heard the gospel, if a person has heard the gospel during the grace age, they will not have a chance to be saved during this time. But I'm talking primarily about the Jewish people. It says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, enter into the tribulation period, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Those that are not going to believe until the end in the tribulation period are not going to enter into the rest, is what it's talking about. I know it's a lot. But look what it says here in verse number 7. Again, talking about Psalm 95 is what this is relating back to. It says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. He's saying today. Today. If you think about 2 Corinthians 6, 2, it says, for he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Secured, that means I have run to help you. Christ has run to help every single one of us. That's what we can appreciate during this time of grace. I have secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today. We see that in the grace age. Today is the day of salvation. What he's saying here, today, if after so long a time, it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. He's saying, do not harden your hearts. It's going to be a hard time to take in during that time of tribulation. Do not harden your hearts against God. I see hardened hearts today already, but it's going to be that much worse then. He's saying, do not harden your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. This is encouragement for the Jewish people during the time of tribulation to keep resting in the Lord. Waiting on him. 7 years. You think about how long the church age, 2,000 years so far, maybe longer, right about that time, but 7 years of pure tribulation is what they'll be facing. He said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He is encouraging them during this time, hold fast your faith, your profession, hold fast unto the end. I'm closing this here with verse number 10. It says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. That's the hardest part about letting go and letting God is you're giving up your works, what you think you can do. You're saying, Lord, I trust you. God, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you everything. You know, that's a lot of resting in there. A lot of times I don't really do this, but I thought I would just for sake of looking at it. But you know, rest in this scripture, these verses here mentioned 8 times. The number 8, that means new beginnings or a fresh start or regeneration. God gives us that time of rest. I hope and pray this is being a blessing to you, a help to you. I tell you, I told Brandy on the way over, I hope it's helping the church because it's helping me. I know this is directed to you. You've got to always pay attention to the dispensations in the Bible, who it's talking to. I believe with all my heart this is directed to the Hebrew people, talking to them during a very hard time of life, the time of tribulation. But that doesn't mean we can't pull things from it. When I see how bad it's going to be and learn more in the Bible how bad it's going to be during the time of tribulation, it makes me thank God so much for what we have here today. Living in the grace age, that is such a blessing, Brother Dale. And on top of that, of knowing and being able to look forward to an eternal rest, that even in these days, the Lord will give us rest now. If we'll slow down and just be quiet and listen to Him. But church, I hope this is a help to you.